Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers. On the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not like their scribes. In the synagogue, there was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come here to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet. Come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord. Yesterday, on this first day of ordinary time, we had a chance to set the table for the entire year coming. In terms of Jesus' incarnation, that God the Father said everything in his Son, the definitive Word, and how that definitive Word spoke imperatives to us in the Gospel that flavor our entire year. First, change your way of looking at things, metanoiete. Believe, live by faith. Come, follow, and fish. It kind of summarizes the entirety of the Christian life. Today, we build on those messages. So yes, God said everything in his definitive word, but what was in that word? What was he saying concretely? We get that in today's first reading. Yesterday we finished by talking about how Jesus was higher than all the angels. And we begin today by saying, though, even though he was higher than the angels, he for a little time willingly became lower than the angels, precisely so that he could lift us up. Indeed, someone has testified somewhere. I love that expression. What is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man that you care for him? Psalm 8, which we prayed together. Now, what's this all about? It's first and foremost about us. That God loved us so much that he gave us a glorious name. That God has us in his mind. That he cares for us. That he made us a little lower than the angels. Crowned us with glory and honor. Subjected all things under our feet, gave us the capacity to name all of creation. It was an incredible gift that God gave. That's what Psalm 8 is about. The letter the Hebrews takes Psalm 8 and applies it to Jesus' incarnation, that he himself for a time, taking on our humanity, became lower than the angels. He was crowned with glory and honor, precisely to restore us to what Psalm 8 was about. But how is he going to do that? He's going to do that by tasting death for everyone. And the letter to the Hebrews says, it was fitting. Not only that the incarnation happen, but that Jesus' passion happen. It was fitting that he, through whom and for whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the archegos, the pioneer, the leader to their salvation, perfect through suffering. After the fall, the way we're restored to our image is through suffering. It's through the sweat of our brow, it's through the pains of childbirth, it's through toil. Because it's through these activities that we really are able to be restored in love. That those pains of childbirth are out of love for a child who would come. That the sweat on the brow, the toil in human life is so that the one for whom the work is being done, both God and others entrusted to us, might be able to receive our love because it's no longer easy. That's why it's fitting. Jesus came into the world so that he would show us the path to redemption. That's what the word was saying. It's a great word of hope, but it's not necessarily the easy way where he just writes off all the debt. He's going to become our pioneer. He's going to become our leader. He's going to become the first in a long line who will be made who they really ought to be. Perfect is teleos, which we've talked about a lot. Precisely through suffering. Because it's in suffering that we will be perfected in love. So he took on a humanity precisely to taste suffering and death so that we might be able to delight through both. And it's through this perfection of suffering in our own life that we become more and more like Jesus. Passage today finishes, he who consecrates and those who are being consecrated all have one origin. He who sanctifies and the ones who are being sanctified all come from that same origin. That Father who loves us, set us for a little while less than the angels. That Father who wishes our perfection. That incredible love that led to creation and that led to redemption. And it's one of my favorite lines in all of sacred scripture that sometimes we need to ponder more and more and more and more and more, especially if we're beaten up a little bit by the devil, so that we feel like we're a piece of garbage. Therefore, and as Scott Hahn loves to say, when you've got a therefore, you have to ask what it's there for. It's summarizing everything that's come before. It's a dramatic exclamation point. Therefore, he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Jesus is not ashamed of us, even on our worst day. He came into the world, he became that definitive word. He lowered himself beneath his creatures, the angels, precisely in order to be able to lift us up and help us to realize that we are members of the royal family. That same Jesus, that pioneer, that leader in today's gospel, goes into the synagogue of Capernaum. Just yesterday, he chooses Peter, Andrew, James, and John and says, come follow me. They leave their nets, they leave their boats, they leave, in John and James's case, their father, and they follow Jesus. Now, their fishing business was there in Capernaum, so it wasn't much of a journey. But now, with these four new followers, he goes into the synagogue. So he starts to teach. And he astonishes everyone by the authority with which he taught. Again, the scribes would always teach by citation. They were constantly citing rabbis, sacred scripture, all the rest. Jesus was one who always said, you've heard it was said, but I say to you. He was the author of the world. He was the word enfleshed. He didn't need to cite. He spoke with originality of the one who was the creator. And so the four new followers were astonished, and everybody in the synagogue was astonished. Just listen to him. But then came something that they never forgot. It was a man who was possessed who cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come here to destroy us? Jesus didn't come to destroy anything. And he came to redeem all. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And then Jesus cured this possessed man. And it led everyone to say about Jesus' word, "What is this? A new teaching with authority commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." The power of Jesus' word coming into the world. They were seeing his creative power. And that's why the verbs we would have pondered yesterday are so much more powerful. When he says repent, this is the one who's got the ability to force, just like he commanded, but he doesn't force, he invites. When he says believe, when he says come, when he says follow me, when he says fish, he proposes, doesn't impose it. But he does so with an incredible authority as one who comes from the origin. And when that origin with a capital O isn't ashamed of us, think about what that means. Every day Jesus comes to speak to us with that authority. Every time sacred scripture is proclaimed in the church, as the Second Vatican Council says in Dei Verbum, it's Jesus speaking live. That's why, liturgically, we always stand at the gospel. We stand in respect for Jesus who is speaking live. And he always wants us to listen, because he could cast out demons with his very word in the middle of his explanation. And often he wants to by the power of his word, including those demons of doubt that constantly assail us. So we open ourselves up to this work. We bring our sufferings to Mass, because it's through the Mass Jesus wants to lead us to perfection via those sufferings. Not on the outside, but he comes to share those sufferings with us on the inside, so that he can lead us through them to glory. What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you care for him? And the greatest thing that should bring us to amazement is what the Lord himself does with authority at the Eucharist. Today, as we mark the birthday of Cardinal O'Connor, and we thank the Lord for the way that he responded to the Lord's authoritative call with his freedom and followed him all the way, we give God thanks for the way that Cardinal O'Connor imitated the authority of Jesus, basing his whole life on Jesus' word and seeking to echo it in the middle of the world, special way with regard to human life. We thank the Lord for all the graces that he's given to him in order to found the Sisters of Life. And we ask the Lord to raise him above the angels.